Well, good afternoon again, everyone. I have been asked to do a unique thing this afternoon, and this job I've been asked to do is to tell you that there's actually more good news in the world than there is bad. That's my job, to tell you that there's more good news in the world than there is bad. And you should see the looks that I get when I tell people that. It's like, have you read the papers lately? Well, who reads papers anymore, right? Shows you my age. I mean, have you checked what's going on? It's terrible out there. Explosions, everything else, it's dangerous. How could you say there's more good news than there is bad? And then when I tell people that the good news that I am bringing them comes from the continent of Africa, I really get the stares. You gotta be totally whacked, as they say. Actually, one time I was doing one of these appeals, and a young lady about your age, right over there in the front row there, she came up to me after Mass and she said, "Father, are you on drugs?" I thought about that and I said, "Wow, but no, it is true." In all the travels that I've had, the privilege that God has given me to do, whether it's here or in Africa or South America or Central or wherever, I have really learned not only have I told I need to proclaim that, but I've experienced it in my own life. There really is so much more good news in the world than there is bad. And I'm here to tell you about a little piece of that good news that comes from Tanzania, East Africa. Our community, Tanzania really is a very much a cross-section of what Africa is all about today. Tanzania represents one of the fastest growing churches in the Catholic Church today. It's not growing by a few thousand, it's been growing by millions. It is huge. And it's all because of the word that we heard in today's gospel, that we can have rest in the Lord, that we can have hope, that our lives have meaning. In a world that says that our lives don't have meaning, isn't it nice to know that the ultimate authority on it is telling us each and every one of us does have meaning? No wonder people are joining our faith. And we as missionaries of the Salvatorians have had the privilege of journeying with this growing, vast growing community now for over 60 years. We began in the 50s, somewhere in there. I was kind of young and probably an image of God's idea of whatever life was supposed to be at that time when we began. And we started very humbly. It was a very small little church about the size of a few of these pews and whatever in a very remote area of the country. And we've expanded ever since. And now we have over 30 parishes that we help operate, 30 parishes and what they call outstations that are connected with them, sharing this word that you've heard today. And let me tell you, being a missionary, I found out, is an adventure. One of the trips that I was over there, we had the opportunity to go visit this community of sisters called the Malela Sisters. Now, you may ask, why do they call them Malela? Well, they live in the town called Malela, so that's how they got their name. And so to get to Malela, to this community of sisters, I learned after we began the trip, not before, that we go through a game park preserve. And that it was well known for having a rather large colony of lions in there. And so my worst fear as the poor innocent gringo was that we would have a flat tire in the middle of this game park preserve on their way to visit the sisters. We had a flat tire in the middle of this game park preserve on our way to see the sisters. And I was appropriately the poor American who was losing his mind thinking he was going to die. I had visions of telling my mother that the only thing left of me was white bones after dessert. And as we were looking at this tire, I noticed that the sun was starting to go down, and I learned something very quickly. Did you know that lions like to dine by candlelight? So, you know, I was just mortified. I'm telling people, we got to get out of here. We're all going to die. They're all kind of staring at this tire and saying, "Father, don't worry. God will take care of us. Be happy." Be happy? Are you kidding me? I'm about to meet my maker and you're telling me to be happy? But in the end, they were right. What we didn't know, but we found out later, was there was a couple of guys who were in the bush. This was in the, and there was a little ranger station nearby. And they'd been watching us this whole time, staring at this tire, wondering how we're going to fix it. And so out of mercy for us, they came over and fixed the tire. We found out later that they discovered that we were priests, and they figured priests don't know how to fix tires. So, well, why not? We'll help them out. And the only thing we had to do in payback to them was to take them to the next village and give them a cold beer. I challenge you to go anywhere in Winter Garden and get your tire changed for a cold beer. See how far you get. But it was a lesson. It was a lesson in the life that these missionaries are constantly challenged with. But it was also a lesson in their own humility and trust in God. How often do we honestly say that we trust God is going to take care of us? Think about it. You know, we kind of like to think we can flip on the phone and get everything done, and we can do, as I said, as a little kid, I'll do it myself. And that's kind of an American thing. But in fact, they teach us that we really do need each other, that we are dependent on each other. Human beings are communal animals, and we need each other to grow and to have life and to share faith with and whatever it may be. And so I'm here to invite you to share faith with us, with your generosity for our community as they continue to grow and they continue to struggle to serve the people of Tanzania. Tanzania is the 20th poorest country in the world, and we're in the poorest part of it on purpose in order to be there for those who need it. And it's a wonderful thing. I wish I could take you there and let you experience the people there. They're very beautiful, to say the least. And so I'm here to ask you to help us in our mission, and I'm asking you to help us in three important ways. The first way I'm asking you to help us is with your prayers. Prayer, I really believe, and it's helped me in my life so often, prayer is the most important thing we do. That's how we should start the day and end the day and throughout the day. And so we need your prayers. We need the power of your prayer, because prayer is powerful. If you've had God bless you in your prayers, you know what I mean. We're not kidding when we talk about the power of prayer, are we? It really is something vital, and we need you to direct your prayers toward us and to pray for our missionaries and their people as they continue to grow and struggle in their daily lives. And I promise you, in return, those folks will be praying for you. Your name is, your community's name is on their list, and they're offering masses for you to support you in the beautiful ministry that you're doing right here. The second way we ask you to help us is in the very good work you're doing here. When you're working with Father Carlos and the other priests here and the other staff here to help share the Word of God in Winter Garden, when you're here reaching out to those who are less fortunate than yourselves, maybe you've got troubled youth that just need a good, wise ear, you know, to kind of help them figure out a problem. Or you're reaching out to that person who just lost their loved one after 50 or 60 years of marriage, and they're just wondering, how the heck do I get to the next day? When you're helping them, when you're reaching out and sharing the gospel that we heard today with others, you're helping us. Because what it is a reminder of is that there's only one ministry in the church. Did you know that? There's really only one. And that's the ministry of Jesus Christ. And we're all part of that ministry by the virtue of our baptism. And it may look different in every different place that you go, but it really is the one ministry of Jesus. So when you're working here, when you're building this beautiful parish, nurturing it and reaching out to those and welcoming the stranger in your midst, you're helping us at the same time. We're all in this together. And finally, we are asking your help financially to help our community, because sadly, that's the reality of the world. We do need financial help, and we hope that you will do that. And I promise you that the funds that you offer are used very, very well. It's to help us build new churches. As I said, we're expanding very rapidly. We built one church, and a year later, we had to expand it because it was growing so much. We just couldn't keep up. With our sisters, we have been building clinics and other places where people can go and get just basic medical care. Medical care that you and I would just take for granted. Over there, it can be a luxury. There was one village I was at there. Their local drugstore was the size of this pulpit for a community of 2,000. So oftentimes it's very rare, but we are trying to make sure that even that little drugstore is filled, that they have some of the basics that they need. And with your help, we can do that. So with your help and with your prayers and with the good work that you're doing here, I want to thank you for your generosity in supporting our missions. I want to thank you for your prayers. And I want to thank you for the wonderful work that you're doing here. It's a blessing to be here. I'm enjoying it thoroughly, and I want to thank you for your generosity. May God bless you all and bless the mission that you're doing to build the kingdom of God in this community. Thank you very much, and God bless you. And let us stand. Let us stand. And let us together profess our faith. I believe in God, the Father.